get started in just about 3 minutes. So if you would like to find a seat while you're doing that, I'd like to ask you to enjoy a Four Hands duet of Silent Night. So it's not the official start of our program yet, but almost. So please enjoy. Thank you. Welcome to what has become our annual Christmas concert and program. I'm so glad that you're able to be here with us this afternoon. Thank you for not being put off by the weather. We wondered about that. Kept on snowing, but we're glad that you're here. There are going to be more chairs coming in if you need them. There are a few spots scattered around up here as well. If you're not shy, you can come right up on into the front. Just a couple of announcements as we begin. This afternoon, we'd like to ask you to hold your applause until the end of the program, except for after the children. So please give them a good round of applause after they minister in their music. Also, no flash photos, please, and make sure to double check that cell phone to make sure that it's in the airplane mode or whatever, so we don't get those disturbances. In your program, which hopefully you got as you walked in, there is a visitor card. And I'd like to ask you to do a personal favor for me, and that is if you are here and aren't usually here at Fellowship Bible Church, or also are not part of Hiawatha Bible, or don't have a home church, please fill that out so we can stay in touch with you. I won't harass you, okay, but I do want to stay in touch. So if you could just do that and then slip it to me sometime after the program, I would certainly appreciate that. On the back bulletin board, there are some ornaments there that the children will be passing out at the end of the program. And it's okay if you go by there and there's no child with one there for you, you can just kind of snag one and take it. We'd like you to have that as you go out. We do have refreshments to follow, sandwiches and desserts and beverages and things right down the hallway. So we'll pack you all in there and enjoy some food afterwards. Hope you can stay for that. This year we're going to have a little more audience participation than we've had in past years. So inside, again, of your program, there's a sheet in here that has scripture reading. And Vincent Bratton will be leading us in the scripture reading. You'll have a part in responsive reading there. And then there are a number of congregational songs that you'll participate in as well. Okay, I think that's it for the formalities of announcements here. So let's open in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the privilege to come together to enjoy not only one another's company, but even more, to enjoy thinking about, reflecting upon, and even worshiping as we sit here, the Lord Jesus Christ, for His coming. You sent Him out of Your love from heaven's splendor to come to earth to give Himself a ransom for many. And so now, Lord, as we come to worship Him, we pray that we will do so in spirit and in truth, and that You will help us to put aside all of the things that might be on our minds this holiday season and to focus upon Him who is the real reason for this season. And we'll give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite to begin our program Selah Dowell to come and play her violin. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee.
each girl and boy.
Good news of great joy for everyone.
For God sent the Savior, His only Son.
He came down from heaven, our Savior to be.
First in a manger, then on a tree.
We celebrate Christmas, the time of Christ's birth,
and thank God for sending His Son to earth.
For unto us a child is born, Jesus Christ. those of you who can do so, I would ask that you stand for our responsive reading from God's Word. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
And Mary said to the angel,
"And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Very much. Everybody be seated.
If you'll take your hymn books and turn to hymn number 105 and stand with me as we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, hymn number 105.
It is the time of the years. mourns in lonely exile here until come to
If you'll take your hymnals with me and turn to 113, please remain seated for this song together. We'll be singing God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen, verses 1, 2, and 3. 113. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father the blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of your virgin bride, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and blind. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Can you believe 55 minutes has already passed? I could listen to all of those again. They will be, Lord willing, available on an MP3 recording and also a video for you if you would like. Just let us know and we can get that to you. How do we know if we've been successful this afternoon in this ministry of our church? Well, one success for us is just to see a full house. And we thank you for coming. We have somewhere around 160 people here. We thank you for joining us, and that is a success in our minds. Another way we can be successful is if we uphold before you the glories of good Christian music. And how can you not help but enjoy the kinds of ministry pieces that we have heard this afternoon? Just a great blessing to me, and I trust to you as well. We commend that kind of musical ministry to you and encourage you to do so likewise in your places and in your homes. Another way we can be successful today in our ministry is to see that some of the words of these songs come true in your life. For example, when it said in the song we just sang, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and might. Not to be diminished is the power of sin and death in the lives of all of our people, of all of us. And the Lord Jesus came to free us from that power so that we could have eternal life. He came as a little baby to die, ultimately, to give Himself a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. He did that because He loved you. You know that? He loved each and every one of you. If you're not a Christian here today, He loved you too. And if you are, He loved you as well. And we want to encourage you to think about that and to revel in that very important truth. But you know, the Lord did not only come one time. Well, He came one time, but He's going to come another time. And I want to share with you a little portion out of perhaps an obscure passage of Scripture of the prophet Micah. In chapter 5 of his prophecy, he gave to us a wonderful word of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, in your program, you may have noticed on the back of the responsive reading that there was some words to some of the songs. And this last one that Dan and Josh just did, the words for that were there. There was one other song there as well. We thought maybe not as familiar to you. But note those words and how it emphasizes the whole life of Christ all the way up until His coming to rule the earth. And I really appreciated how that fit in so well with our program today. And the message, we did not communicate about that, by the way. I had chosen Micah long before we had laid out the order of the program. So Micah chapter 5, if you have a Bible and want to follow along for a few moments, please feel free to do so. I'm speaking this afternoon on the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus, the King, is coming again, and we need to be ready, is my thesis for the little message this afternoon. You know, we live in a world full of moral evil and political instability, financial ruin, armed conflict, natural disasters. Ancient Israel experienced much of the same. And in chapter 5, in verse number 1, the Bible says something about this awful situation. It says, "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek." The judge of Israel represents Israel's king. And to be smitten or stricken upon the cheek was the ultimate of insults. That is, the king was going to be insulted, if not totally destroyed. But God had already planned a resolution to the conflict that the ancient nation Israel had and would experience. In stark contrast to the situation in which their judge would be stricken upon the cheek, God would raise up a powerful king for the nation of Israel in the future. And this king also provides the solutions for the troubles that we face today, all of those natural evils and moral ills that ail our society. And it would come from a little place called Bethlehem. In Micah 5:2, let me read, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." Bethlehem is a word which derives from two roots, Beit and Lechem, which is the house of bread. In the nation of Israel, it was a very small place, but it was a breadbasket of fruit production of grain in the nation, a place of tiny size that belies its greatness that lies underneath the surface. It's not like a New York City of the world. It's like a Podunk Junction. Nobody cared really about Bethlehem. But it was also called Ephrathah, which is the idea of fruitfulness. The place was also the breadbasket and fruitfulness of Israel in terms of its national leadership. Could any good thing come out of Bethlehem? That insignificant place on the map? Well, the Davidic dynasty already had come from that place, that which rose up David to be king in Israel, and also following him, his son Solomon, who is the greatest of kings of Israel, the richest, the wisest, the most prosperous and affluent king. That dynasty arose from there in 1 Samuel chapter 16:1, when God said, "Go to that place and anoint for me a king," to Samuel. Solomon, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Amaziah, Azariah, Jotham, Hezekiah, Josiah, and I've eliminated all the names of the bad kings, but those are the good ones in that line of kings. But the Bible tells us that one more ruler will rise up from that place, like a mustard seed that grows into a great plant, or a little acorn that grows into a mighty oak. With God, the least of cities will become the greatest. God's economy is a little different than ours. You know, we think that great things are great and little things are little. God thinks that little things can be great and great things will be humbled. God says, out of you, little Bethlehem, shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel. Micah teaches us then that a very good and powerful ruler is going to come from that small village, exalting the status of that place once again as the birthplace of the kings. Now, the Bible tells us about a number of things regarding the rule of this one who is only properly identified as the Messiah, Israel's long-awaited anointed king, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, son of Abraham. This Messiah was expected to be a supernatural king. Look in, if you have your Bible there in verse 2, though you are little, out of you will come forth the one to be ruler, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. This ruler would be eternal, the eternal ruler of Israel. His dynasty goes back at least 1,000 years before this was written. More than that, the great king preexisted all things. He is the one who in the beginning was with God. Not only was he with God, he was God. He has neither beginning of days nor end of life. And back in another portion in the Old Testament scriptures, in Psalm 89 and verse number 36, the text of the Bible, God's holy word says, "His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even the faithful witness in the sky." And so God assures us that his king and his kingdom will endure forever and ever and ever. This king was supernatural. His existence did not just extend back in time, but beyond time. The scriptures tell us that unto us a child is born, unto us a son, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, was given. He was predicted to be born of a virgin. His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so we know in seed form from the Old Testament that he would be the God-man, divine and human. Now the Bible also tells us not only about his eternality, the eternality of his rule, but also the timing of his rule. In verse number 3 it says, "Therefore he shall give them up." That doesn't sound so good, does it? He shall give them up. There's an indication here that his rule is going to be delayed. God will abandon Israel until a later time because of their sin, but this will only be temporary. The end of this abandonment time is given by two conditions. Number one, after the labor and birthing is over. And then number two, when the remnant returns to the nation of Israel. So after the king is born, number one, and number two, the remnant returns to Israel, so that you have a king and you have a realm, a people over which he may rule. So when those conditions are met, then the Lord will be there ruling over the kingdom. Now this delay has been from the 700s BC until now. That is one long time to be waiting for a king. The king did come after his human birth, as we have sung and thought about this afternoon. He brought great light to the people of Israel, but he was rejected by the nation, and so God plunged the nation back into darkness until the time of the end, when the king will return and shepherd his people with a mighty hand. So the foreverness of his rule, the timing of his rule delayed, and then the character of it. A number of words here just point out the character of his rule. He is, first of all, a shepherd. He's not an imperial king. He's not a dictator, but he's a wonderful and benevolent ruler, a king who provides for, protects, leads, guides, and cares for his sheep, just like a good shepherd cares for his sheep. It says also that he rules in the strength of the Lord, not just human strength. You know, when you rely upon human strength, what do you get? Failures. Failures. Every government has suffered from those kinds of failures. Messiah embodies God precisely in his rule over Israel, and he will usher in a time of ultimate peace and prosperity. Actually, if you go back to chapter 4, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. All people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.'" Our Lord Jesus told us that they will do war until the time of the end in which he returns, at which time they will beat those swords into plowshares and there will be a time of everlasting peace and prosperity for the people. It says they will abide and they will not be moved. The Bible also says that he will exercise his rule in divine majesty. Think of the royal pomp and circumstance of Great Britain, the birth of a child or the queen. Multiply it by 1,000. Divine majesty, not just human majesty. Think about the coming of the great king, all capital letters. Peace and prosperity, divine majesty, royal power, divine rule. And as a result, Israelite domination will be established throughout the world. Doesn't seem possible today, does it? Israel, one of those smallest of nations which God has picked out for his own. This will be a universal rule, a kingdom which will have no end. It won't be just a small territory in the Middle East. Israel will sit at the top of the heap of nations and will rule over the world through Jesus Christ. This is the promise of the Bible. This will come to pass, no matter how impossible it seems to you or me. It will be the case. A worldwide government. This will be the envy of the one worlder today. The government will be truly worldwide, yet it will be utterly righteous. And the Lord will rule over it with a rod of iron and with a scepter of righteousness. Hebrews 1 tells us that. That there will be no sin in his government. Now this king arises from insignificant Bethlehem to worldwide domination. Don't despise the day of small things. Little Bethlehem, little Israel. God takes some small things and makes them into big things, doesn't he? If we're paying attention, though, today things are really no better than they were in ancient Israel. Sin and corruption rule around the world. There is no true peace. Actually, of all people on the earth, we are most favored. We have had peace and prosperity in our land. We can fight wars and most of us don't even hardly notice what's going on. We need to be thankful for these things. But you know, if sin's consequences should find us out, which they inevitably will, then the time of our peace and prosperity will not last forever. We need a king too. We need one societally and we need one individually. You know, maybe the baby Jesus seems safe to you. He's just a little guy. Cute. Doesn't even hardly cry. You know? No sin. Grew up as a boy. And why did he come? To give himself in sacrificial love for all sinners, including you and for me. He died and went into the grave and rose again out of that grave. He finalized, therefore, the total payment for sin so that we could be free of sin and death. So nice of him, isn't it? So loving, so kind. Yet even today, at that message, people stumble and they say, "I will not have him as my Savior." If we're to be successful in our ministry today, you would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you have not already. He will pardon you if you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. Turn away from sin. Believe in Jesus Christ. How have you responded to him? But you know, there's another side of Jesus that I want to make sure, I've talked about it, but I want to make sure to highlight in your minds. Jesus is not just a lowly little baby in a manger. He's not just the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. King Jesus does not seem so safe, does he? He will come to rule as sovereign over the entire world. He will not be a meek and mild baby anymore. He will come as the Lord of Lords, the Lion of Israel. The book of Revelation tells us that he, along with his co-rulers, will reign over the world with a rod of iron and will smash the opposition into pieces. As a minister of the gospel and as members of his church, we are privileged to be able to proclaim in advance his majesty, the King, the excellent Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. You must acknowledge this King in order to have a place in his kingdom. One of the first things he'll do as King is he'll come and he'll judge the nations, of which all of us are members. The good news of the kingdom of God is that it is coming. It is coming. And that you, too, can have a place in that kingdom if you receive the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I close, let me use an illustration from C.S. Lewis. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mr. Beaver says, "Why, daughter of Eve, that's what I brought you here for. I'm to lead you where you shall meet him." Lucy, Is he a man? Aslan, a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of the beasts? Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Susan, oh, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Mrs. Beaver, that you will, dearie, and make no mistake. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly. Lucy, then he isn't safe? Mr. Beaver, safe? Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the King, I tell you. May we worship Him who is the King. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we will bow the knee before the King, the Lord of hosts. Oh God, may it not be said of anyone who is here that we have ignored the message of the good news of the kingdom of God. We know that our Savior is good, but He is also the King, I tell you. We agree. Ask that you help us to relate properly to Him. May we come to Him in faith, in His own name. Amen. We're going to close with a couple of hymns just now. First of all, hymn number 122, "Who is He in Yonder Stall?" And then we'll finish with "Joy to the World." And I want you to think about joy to the world in this sense, that it's not about the Lord's first coming, it's about His coming again. Keep that in mind and you will sing with great understanding then, please. Hymn number 122, I'm going to invite David if he'll come and lead us in the final two hymns.
Please remain seated as we sing our first song together, 122, "Who is He in Yonder Stall?"
Yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall, 'tis the Lord, a wondrous story, 'tis the Lord, the King of glory, at His feet we humbly fall.
Who is He that stands and weeps at the grave where Lazarus
Let's turn to our final hymn together, 104, Joy to the World. Let's stand as we sing together.
Couple of announcements as we close. First, I just want to say a word of thanks to everyone who participated in the service, for all of you who came, but especially for those who provided music for us. Thanks to Michelle Yanga for being key to organizing the program, and JL as well. Thanks to Brother Dwayne sitting there in the back. Doesn't get much recognition, but he's trying to keep all these microphones going with everybody moving around. Did an excellent job. I can't say all the individual names, but just thank you all for your help. This program could not have gone on without all of that, just an integral part of it. So thank you from my heart and from Fellowship Bible Church and all who are here. We do have refreshments afterwards, as we mentioned, so after we're done, I'll just have a quick prayer and we can exit here and go down the hall and enjoy those. Our house is your house, okay? So you enjoy yourself, make yourself at home. I don't know if you'll find anything in the fridge if you open the door, but you're welcome to do that as well. And there are restrooms right across there, and then there's some through the library on the other side of this wall if you need those. Also some upstairs for those maybe FBC folks know where those are. You can use those. We have some the ornaments I mentioned already. Take one of those or get one from the children as you go out. Let me just also mention a couple of opportunities for you. For those in Ann Arbor, out on the table there where Taylor is standing, just or the desk actually, there are some 2014 calendars. I don't know how many are left, but please take one of those if you want to kind of have a sneak peek of what we plan under God's will to happen next year. You can put those things on your calendars. Also, Kids for Truth for the children is our midweek program. We have flyers out there on the table as well for that. We'd love to have you come and have your children enjoy that ministry. We also have counseling ministries for adults, especially marriage counseling, grief counseling, all sorts of things like that. So you just be in touch with me and we'll meet and have some time in the Word of God. I find that if you just go to the Word, you'll find every answer to every problem that you have. I just want to encourage you about that. We saw some of those today for the world's problems in our King, the Lord Jesus, but your personal issues as well. And then for those of you that are from Howell, I see a number of you out here. Please take advantage of the church that is starting in Howell. It's a ministry of Fellowship Bible Church in Ann Arbor. It's called somewhat uncreatively Fellowship Bible Church of Howell. So you can't miss it. But it is different. The theme colors are blue instead of burgundy. So Everything else pretty much the same, though. The same doctrine, the same practice, the same kind of worship. Brother Andy Bennett is in the back. Just wave your hand there, Andy. Take a look at that gentleman there. He'll tell you everything you need to know about the Howell ministry. So if you don't have a home church, you're in the Howell area, we're having meetings Wednesday nights and Sunday nights right now, and all the details will be available to you if you need any other information. So I'm running out of things to say. Strange. But actually, pastors talk too much, so it's best for me just to be quiet and go eat. And you come with me, okay? Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a blessed time sharing your word in song and through the printed text of Scripture. We ask now that you will bless the food and beverages to the nourishment of our body, and especially that we be able to have a good time of fellowship together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.